We're holding on Vav Amud Aleph, the second line. We're discussing the matter of, we've been discussing the last couple of blocks, the matter of Yodos, where a person makes a partial declaration of Nezirus, or not Nezirus, of Nedarim. For example, the full declaration of a Neder would be a person says, this object should be also to me like a korban. So he's using the word also and he's using the word korban. Or okay, at the beginning of the Masechta, the Ran says maybe it's not strictly necessary for him to mention the korban. Maybe it's enough that he just says that this thing is also, and that itself would be considered a full declaration of a neder. In any case, though, you have cases where a person says less than that. For example, a person say for example, we had later on in the Mishnah where a person says to somebody else, "Mudrani mimcha, I am under a neder from you." So there's no word also, there's no word korban, and still that's considered a yad, and it takes effect as a neder. So we've been discussing the matter of Yadayim Mechichos versus She'enem Mechichos. You have a Yad, which is Mechiach, which is very clear that it's very clear. We can easily fill in the missing word, right? For example, when a person says Mudrani Mimcha, it's easy enough for us to fill in and say that it means that he's asking himself in something, although we discussed yesterday, actually, it still might mean maybe he's only saying that I'm going to be also to talk to you. So actually that kind of thing would be considered Yadayim She'enem Mechichos in the sense it's not certain that he means to aso hana from the other guy, he may be meaning to aso something else. Yadayim Mechichos would be where it's fairly clear that you could conceivably fill it in a different way, but most likely you would fill it in the way that amounts to a neder. So now, we said that concept of Yadayim Mechichos and She'en Mechichos applies, for example, not only when it comes to Nedarim. We talked about it, for example, in connection with Git. We said that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim disagree when it comes to a Get. Do you just have to write Harayat Mechadas Lachal Adam, or is that considered Yadayim She'en Mechichos in the sense that that doesn't tell us for certain that he's the one who's giving her the Get? Maybe it sounds from those words alone, it could be that somebody else is doing it. It's not necessarily that the get is the vehicle for the divorce. Maybe he's thinking that he can do it verbally. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is requiring him to write another line, the Dein Diyev Lechiminai, this get is coming from me to you. Which the this makes it clear that we mean the get and nothing else. And the Minai makes it clear from me and not from somebody else. So Rabbi Yehuda had held you had to write that line, and the Chacham hold that not. Then we mentioned a machlokas Abaya and Rabba, which seems to be the same point, but we said it's not necessarily. Rabbi Yehuda, we said both Abaya and Rabba, either one of them could go like Chachamim or like Rabbi Yehuda, because in each way we'd have a reason to say why maybe Gittin are different than other areas of halacha. On the one hand, a get has to be chrisos, it has to completely cut off the relationship between them, so you could argue it has to be more unequivocal, it has to be more clear that the loshen without room for any misinterpretations. On the other hand, the fact is, Rava would say, listen, who else is going to be divorcing her other than her husband? So that's where we're up to. Second line of Vav Amud Aleph. So the most is Mesu. I have a contradiction on Abaya. A braisa says, harehu alai, if a person says about a certain object that it is on me. Now, if a person were to say, now to say this thing is on me, usually that would mean, as we're going to say in a few lines, that usually that would amount to saying that it's a korban. So if a person says, harehu alai, he says, this is on me, without saying the word osir and without saying the word korban or anything, or hare ze alai, or this thing is on me. So then we say osir, then we say it's osir, mipneshu yad lekorban, because that amounts to a yad for a korban. Now, in other words, because again, a person might well declare a korban by saying the typical way of declaring a korban might be harehu alai korban, or something to that effect. And since, again, since because of yadus, then therefore we can fill in the word korban even if he just says harehu alai. But taima da'amo alai hudasir, only because he says alai, now that makes it a yad mechiyach, only then would he be asir. Ava loy omer alai loy, but if he doesn't say the word alai, then not. Now, if he doesn't say alai, that's yadayim she'en mechichas. And Abaya says that even yadayim she'en mechichas are yadayim. So according to him, why do you have to say the word alai? So, and the braisa seems to be implying that if he were to only say harehu, then that's not enough. Why? Because it's a yad she'en mechiyah. Because harehu could mean any of a lot of different things. So then, tiyuv to da abaya. So that would be a contradiction on abaya. Because abaya says, again, that you shouldn't need, on the face of it, according to abaya, you shouldn't need the word alai. The answer is, amalach abaya, the reason is, because time of the amal, alai hu da osur, the reason is like this. Because when he says alai, the reason why you need alai in this case to be osur, because aval amal harei hu, v'lai amal alai, because without the word alai, fine, you don't need your dying mechichas. But the problem is, if you don't say the word korban, and you're not saying the word alai either, there's not necessarily, would we fill it in, not necessarily would we fill in this yad to say that he's talking about a korban at all. He could mean, for example, harehu de hefter, harehu de tzedakah kamar. Conceivably, harehu could mean that I'm going to declare it as hefter, that I'm going to declare it as tzedakah. So Abaya says, fine, I say that your dayim she'en mechichas are your dayim, but at least it has to be she'en mechichas. It has to be that the most reasonable explanation would be, and you have, there are other equally reasonable explanations, but most likely you would fill this in. Especially Mefoshim point out, the Shittim Kubetzis points out that to say when he said harehu alai, and leaving out the word korban, you only have to fill in one word. If you want to say that, if you want to say he says harehu, and you're saying that you have to fill in two words, alai korban, so maybe that's less likely. Maybe that's not enough to be considered. Even your dayim mechichas, that would be a really weak kind of your dayim shein mechichas. So even Abaya is going to say that's not considered your dayim. It's not even your dying mechichas. So the question is, v'ha mipnei shehu yad lekorban patani. What do you mean? The Braisa clearly says that the reason why, if he said hareze olai, would be also is because it's a yad for a korban. So in other words, so you can't fill it in to say that we didn't say it's a yad for a neder. We said it's a yad for a korban. Now, so there's a few different ways that the Rishonim have to explain what the question is on Abaya. The Ran explains when people want to declare something as a korban, it's normal enough for a person to say harehu korban without saying the word olai, and therefore harehu. So we're saying harehu olai is enough to be considered a yad, but then we're saying that's considered a yad for a korban. But you actually, with a korban, you don't even need the word alai, and still we're saying that only to be a yad la korban, it needs to have the word alai in it. So that means just harehu would not be enough to be considered a yad. Now why not? Shouldn't that be your dayim mechichas? Because the word harehu is usually used to introduce the word korban. So that's how the Ran explains it. And then you have a couple of other different ways that the Mefoshim have to explain it. The Rosh, for example, says that what it means is, so again, when a person is saying, so we don't mean a korban in the sense of bringing something as a korban, the way the Ran is saying it. We're talking about being matpis the korban. The concept that we touched on at the beginning of the Masechta, and we're going to talk about in great detail later on in the parak, of matpis or matfis, whatever, where a person says, this thing should be like that thing. So later on in the parak, we're going to discuss the classic way of one of the classic ways of making a neder is, for example, to say, this meat should be to me like a korban. Now, he didn't use the word osur, but since a korban is something that's osur for a regular person to eat, and it says, we're going to learn later in the parak, it's something that you can aser through a neder. It's something that you can create declare something as a korban, and that's called dover hanodur. So when you can be, to be matfis, you have to be matfis for dover hanodur. If you were to say, for example, we're going to learn in the next parak about this, that if, for example, if you were to say this meat is to me like chazer flesh, that wouldn't work. Chazer flesh is not a dover hanodur. You can't declare it also by neder. It's also already. But if you say this meat is also to me like a korban, that's matfis. So now, matfis literally means to grab, right? Because you're causing the kedusha of the one thing to be grabbed onto something else, right? So now the Rosh explains, when we say over here, yad the korban, we don't mean necessarily for a korban per se. We mean korban in the sense of something that you're using to be matfis, something that you're using to create a neder. But the point is, we see that we see that we're not assuming that could conceivably be hefker of tzedaka. We're saying that he means that he's creating a neder with it. And again, even without the word alai, that it should seem to be enough. How can where's a point to Abaya? Without the word alai, it's not good enough. We're saying the Braisa is specifically mentioning the word alai, implying without that it's not enough. Now, why? According to Abaya, it should be. According to Abaya, it should be yadayim she'en mechichas. Just the words harehu. Forget about tzedakah or hefker, because the Braisa is clearly telling us that it has to do with a korban, and therefore, so it should be considered yadayim she'en mechichas. So no, rather let's explain differently. Ela ema. Rather, we're going to answer that what the Braisa means according to Abaya. Taima de omer a lie, because the difference is only when he says a lie, who also the chaverim mutter. The result of that will be that it will be a neder that applies only to the person himself who made the neder. Avo omer harehu, but if he just says the word harehu, so before we thought that the braisa means if he says harehu, it's not a yad at all, and it was a question and a bias. Now we're going to say, actually, yeah, harehu does count as a yad, and it's a stronger kind of thing. Shnei ha-nasurin, actually both of them, meaning not just both of them, really means everybody, is going to be also in this thing. Dilma harehu hektish ka'omar, because there's a reasonable possibility that he may have meant to declare it hektish. Now, he could mean to declare it neder, and then it would be also only to him. If I say, after all, if I say this meat is also to me, it's also only to me. It's mutter to all of you. But if I say this meat is hektish, then it becomes also to everybody. So therefore, so that's the difference. When he says harehu alai, the fact that he says the word alai makes it clear that he's limiting it to himself. But when he says harehu, you could just as well say that he's making it hektish for everyone. And therefore, so now everybody's going to be also to eat this meat. So the Braisa is not a contradiction to Abaya, because again, Abaya is saying, so you do in fact have the words harehu or your dying she'en and mechichas. You don't know for sure whether he means a neder, which is only for himself, or whether he means hektish, which is for everybody. And we take the stricter view and say that it means that it's going to be hektish. We're actually going to learn later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn the concept called stam nedarim lahokar. We're going to say, when we have a statement that could be understood as a neder or could be understood as something else, we take a stricter view. Within that itself, sometimes we say, Perushan, we're going to get to later, when it comes to interpreting what the neder is covering, what things the neder is covering, sometimes lahok or sometimes lahachmer, as we'll get into examples later in the Masechta. But when we have something that may or may not be a neder, we generally go lachomer with it. The same way over here, when he says harehu, which could mean a neder, or it could mean hektish, one way or the other, it's also to him. Hektish is going to make it also to everybody else as well. Then we're going to take the stricter view and say that he made it hektish. Which, by the way, keep in mind, is another kind of neder. We talked at the beginning of the Masechta that really you have two different kinds of nedarim. You have nidre isur and nidre hektish. We're not really focusing on nidre hektish in our Masechta. Those are mostly dealt with in Seder Kodshim. But nevertheless, here we have an example where he says something that could be understood as a declaration of hektish.
That's why over here he's machner.
So that's why over here we're machner. But the point is, in other words, the question we had on Abaya was why you need the word alai for it to be considered a yad. Why wouldn't it be considered a yad without alai? And the answer is considered a yad without alai. So that's how Abaya will understand the Braisa, that without alai, it becomes a stronger thing, it becomes hektish, and with alai, it becomes a weaker thing, it becomes just a neder, which is also just to him. Meanwhile, of course, Rava doesn't need to understand the Braisa that way. Rava can understand it straight out, that only if he says alai, is it a yad. If he doesn't say alai, then it's yadayim she'en mechichas, it's something equivocal, it could mean one thing, it could be the other, and Rava had said that yadayim she'en mechichas is not yadayim, and therefore without alai, you don't have a neder at all.
Where does Abaye take it that without Allah it is necessarily hektish? Where does he take that?
Well, that's what we're saying. That's what we're using that to answer how this Braisa will not contradict Abaye. Given that the Braisa says you need to have the word Allah, how would Abaye understand it? And the answer is we, on behalf of Abaye, can understand it that way.
Understand, but where is the basis to give that?
The basis is because the word harehu can just as well be used to declare something hektish.
It can be used to declare something hektish, but it can be used for other reasons also.
Fine, but there we go with Stam Nedarim Lahachmer. The fact is, we said that he's saying something. He's saying the word harehu. He obviously means to declare it as something, and we should take the maximum view then and say that it means hektish. Okay, the Gemara says Mace. I have another contradiction, another potential contradiction on Abaye. A Braisa says, if a person says about a certain animal, harei zu chatas, harei zu osham, this animal is a chatas, or this animal is an osham, then even if previously he was already chayev a chatas or an osham, loy amaklum, then what he said doesn't count for anything. And the reason is because a chatas or an osham cannot be brought as a neder or an adav. A chatas or an osham have to be something that a person is required to bring. By the way, the Rosh points out in his Perush over here, there is one kind of osham that a person could bring voluntarily, namely an osham tolui. A Mishnah in Krisus tells us that they call it Asham Chassidim, that the Chassidim, that people who are extra careful with mitzvahs, could, an Oshem Tolu, we know classically, is when a person did something where he's not sure whether he did something that's Chayav Chappas. Classic example is that a person had two pieces of fat in front of him. One of them was Chelev, which is Osir, and would be Chayav Kores and a Chappas. The other one is Shuman, which is not, and he eats one of them, and the other one gets lost, and he's not sure now which one he ate. So he brings an Oshem Tolui. So it mentions over there in the Mishnah in Krisus that the Chassidim Arishonim used to bring an Oshem Tolui, if not every day, then at least all the time. It mentions, for example, Bava ben Butta used to bring one every day, just in case the day before they had done something that would make them chayev, that would make them chayev chattas.
I mean, just in general there.
In general, yeah, in general. In case the previous day they had done any one of the 30 or 40 odd things that would make them chayev chattas. And they're allowed to. They're allowed to. You have one thing the Mishnah mentions over there, I think, about Bava ben Butta. It says he wanted to bring one the day after Yom Kippur, and they tell him, you know what, listen, give yourself a chance. They at least have a suffix whether you did an Aveda, because after all, Yom Kippur cleans up your Avedas, you know. So anyway, the point is that that kind of Osham, then the Rosh points out, based on the Gemara over there, can be brought the Neder and a Dava. So if a person were to say that this animal should be an Osham Tolui, fine, that he can do. But we're talking about a regular Chattas or a regular Osham. Those can't come the Neder and a Dava. A person did one of those 30 odd things that makes him chayev an osham, that makes him chayev a chattas, or he did one of a half dozen things that makes him chayev an osham, then he brings an osham, but otherwise not. So if he says that, so even though he was chayev chattas or an osham, if he says on a certain animal, this is a chattas or this is an osham, then loy omaklum, what he said doesn't count for anything, because he can't just declare one out of the blue. But if he says, harezu chatos si, harezu asham mi, but if he says, this is for my chatas or for my asham, as well, im hayu mechoyav, if in fact it was chayav a chatas or an asham, dvar of kayamin, then what he said is valid. So now we have a contradiction on Abaya, because even, what are we saying? In the first part of the Braisa, we're saying, even though he's chayav a chatas or an asham, and he's saying, harei zu chatas, harei zu asham, that is your dying chain in mechichas. It could mean that he means for the chatas or asham that he is already obligated to bring, but he could mean that out of the blue he wants to declare a new chatas or asham that he's not chayav in, and we say that doesn't work, and we say it doesn't work. According to Abaya, why shouldn't it work? It's your dying shein and mechichas. Fine, it's not 100% for sure that it means the chatos or the osham that he's chayav, but most likely it means that. That's your dying shein and mechichas. And according to Abaya, that should be your dying. And we're saying that not. The answer, it's a two of the Abaya. So we have a contradiction on Abaya. The answer is, Amalach Abaya, Homani Rabbi Yehuda. So the answer is, Rabbi will tell you, fine, you know what, that b'raisa goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. Where we said before, Rabbi Yehuda requires your dying mechichas, which is why in a get, we said he requires that line, v'dein v'yev y'lechim y'nai. The question is, what do you mean? Before in the Gemara, when we first presented the machloikas Abaya and Rava, we said on the face of it, they seem to be repeating the same machloikas as Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and we said that no, Abaya would say what I'm saying could work even according to the Rabbanon, or even according to Rabbi Yehuda, rather. Abaya had said, what I'm saying could work even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda would say a get is special because it requires krisus. There has to be an absolute cutting off between the husband and wife, and therefore there can't be any room for any mistakes or anything equivocal, but in other areas of halacha not. Now all of a sudden you're telling me that Abaya, that Rabbi Yehuda would actually hold, that now you're telling me all of a sudden that Rabbi Yehuda would hold in this area as well, which has nothing to do with Gittin. We're talking about Kodshim, and he would say that you need your dying mechichas. So the answer is Hodabay, okay, Abaya changed his mind. At first he wanted to say that his shitta would work according to everybody. Now he has no choice but to say that his shitta works only according to Chachamim and not according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so the question is, Ella Lema Rava de Amar Kirav Yehuda. Well, in that case, does that require us to say that Rava also is only appointed of Yehuda? Should we assume that since now we're establishing that Abaya's opinion can work only according to the Chachamim, would that mean that Rava's opinion now can only work appointed of Yehuda? The problem with that is that Rav Yehuda is a das yochid. The halacha may not be like him. Why would Rava want his shita to be only according to a das yochid? Shouldn't he better give an opinion that would fit according to the chachamim as well? And the answer is amalach Rava anod amya filu rabban. And the answer is Rava does not have to change his mind. Rava can say that my opinion will work even according to the chachamim. Because we can say adkan lekamir for the same reason that we talked about at the bottom of the previous amud and the top of this one. And in fact, you have this is one of those examples where they say loshen nedarim mishuna. Usually, in most other places in Shas, we wouldn't repeat the same words that Rava is saying. We would just refer to what we said earlier. Now here we're actually going to repeat, and the next three lines we're going to repeat the same svara of Rava, because this is one of those things loshen nedarim mishuna, and nedarim apparently did not go through the same amount of editing process as the other masechtas, and therefore there are various oddities in it, including this. So he says, ad kam lekaamir rabbanan b'le b'im yadayim mechichas. You know why the chachamim say that you don't need yadayim mechichas? Ela gabe get. They would hold only by a get. Do you not need it? The einar megarish is eshes chaveda, because after all, nobody is going to divorce somebody else's wife. So therefore, necessarily, even without the words v'dein diyevi l'chiminai, it's very clear that the get is coming from him to her and not from somebody else to her. You can have a shliach, but the shliach is acting on behalf of the husband. Even when you send a get with a shliach, you're still going to have the line in it, v'dein diyevi l'chiminai, and ultimately it's the husband who gave the instructions for the get to be written and for the get to be delivered. So, Abba Ba'alma, but usually the Chacham would say, but in your daim mechichas, usually the Chacham would require your daim mechichas, and only in the special case of get that not, would we say that not. So in short, in other words, what we can say is, Abaya's opinion would not work according to Rabbi Yehuda's, it would only work according to the Chachamim's. Rabba's could work according to either Rabbi Yehuda's or the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda would require your daim mechichas specifically by a get, or the Rabbanan, rather, would require your daim mechichas specifically by a get, but they would say in other areas of halacha we don't require them. Let me say that again. The Chachamim would say by a get we don't need your daim mechichas, but everywhere else in halacha we do. And Rabbi Yehuda would say both in a get and in other areas of halacha we need your daim mechichas. So now, when Rava is saying you need your daim mechichas, he would be going, if you go according to the Chachamim, it would mean everything except for a get. If you go according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be everything including a get. So Rava's opinion could work according to either one of them, and we don't have to say that Rava is speaking specifically according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Now that we discussed this, now that we went through this whole matter of your daim, so now let's talk about your daim as they apply to other areas of halacha. So far, we've discussed. Do you want to say anything? Ask them
later.
Okay. So far we've discussed your daim in terms of nedarim and nezirus, which is after all a type of neder, and also in connection with gittin. So now we're going to bring up the rest of this amud and then the following amud on Zayin and Aleph. We're going to talk about yad. We're talking about yadis as they apply to other areas of halacha. So the Gemara says, "Boy, your papa, yesh yad lekiddushin oiloi. Is it possible to use a yad when it comes to kiddushin?" In other words, again, by kiddushin, the full lashon of kiddushin would be harei at mekudeshes li. So what if he leaves out some of that? So now, how would we think that it would apply to kiddushin? So first of all, the Ran says we're talking even when it's a yad mechiyah. So let's leave aside Abaya and Rava for the moment and say we are talking about a Yad Mashiach. It's clear that the most reasonable way to fill in what he's saying would be that he's saying that he's Makadosh this woman. As we're going to give an example in the Gemara in a second of what the Yad is that we're talking about. The question would be then, on the one hand, we could say that once we say it applies by Nidorim, then we can use a Mamotzinu to say just like by Nidorim it works, so also by Kiddushin. Or maybe not. Maybe Nidorim are more stringent, because after all, Nidorim, all you need is to say something. Kiddushin, you actually have to do something as well. You have to give Kesef or Shtar or Bia. Would we say that? So would we say that the concept of Yodis applies to Kiddushin as well? And Tosfos points out that in a way, Kiddushin can be said to have a certain relationship with Nedarim. Fine, maybe a regular Mamotzinu you wouldn't say, because you could easily slug it up. Fine, as we just said, there are things about Nedarim that are more stringent than Kiddushin. On the other hand, you think about it, Nedarim and Kiddushin do have, both of them have this in mind, you're changing the status of something. Nedarim, before this thing was mutter to you, now it becomes also to you like a covenant. Kiddushin, when you're Makadish a woman, you're making her also to everybody else in the world. So therefore, you can argue that maybe the concept of Yodis should apply by Kiddushin as well. So the Gemara asks, Hey, Hidami. Okay, what's the scenario where you're asking about Yodis? Ilema de Omala Isha Hareat Makudeshis Li. Are we talking about where he says to one woman the full statement, Hareat Makudeshis Li, the Omala Chavata of Atnami? And then he says to her friend, you too, and you're going to ask whether the you too constitutes a yad. And the Ran explains the case is that we're talking about that he gave two prutas to the first woman. So he gave Rachel two prutas, and he says, Hareat Mekudeshesli, and then he turns to Leah and says, you also. The implication being that Rachel is receiving the second pruta as a shliach on behalf of Leah. Well, did you want to ask Chita? Of course that would work. Hainu Kiddushin Atzman. That itself is Kiddushin. As long as Rachel is accepting it as a shliach of Leah, that works. And by the way, the Ran brings from Gemara and Kiddushin, not only can one woman make a shliach to another, they can make another woman a shliach to accept her Kiddushin, even when we're saying both of them are going to be marrying the same man, meaning that now they're going to be tsaris, they're going to be rivals to each other, and we talked about all over Yevamos how difficult that can be for women. Nevertheless, that it works halacha, as long as she was willing to accept the condition, as long as she was willing to be in a Scottish like that.
We don't know if she's accepting it both for herself or one for her.
No, so you would say, you would ask the question, maybe the Va'at Nami, the you too, doesn't constitute a condition, but the question is, of course it constitutes a condition. What else would it? And by the way, the Ran adds also, now you can't say that it means that he gives one pruta to each one of them, because then for sure, the Gemara wouldn't even have brought up the question in the first place. We're going to bring up the question in a second, that maybe when he says Va'at Nami, maybe he means, I want you to watch how I'm doing the Kiddushin, but if he gave her a pruta, there's no way you can say that.
So you have to be careful with that, because you might Mekadesh two women at the same time.
So yeah, you do have to be careful when you're giving women prutas, yeah. There have been cases, by the way, where, for example, there was a case many years ago where there were a bunch of teenagers were playing together during recess or something, and a bunch of them they started doing mock kiddushin. The boys were taking out like toy rings or onion rings or whatever and giving them to girls and saying Hareat Mekudeshesli, and it became a huge shaila whether that's considered a valid kiddushin or not. There, Moshe has a long tshuva on the subject, working out pros and cons of it. Can such things be considered valid kiddushin? Or the items worth a pruta? Did they really mean kiddushin, etc., etc.?
Long story short, did they have to give him?
Long story short, I think there may have been cases where, I don't know actually, I think there may have been cases where at least some of them had to give gittin, but I'm not sure about that. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah. So here we're talking about, again, the Ran teaches out that we're talking about that he gave two prutas to one woman, to Rachel. He tells her, Hareat Mekudeshesli, and then he turns to Leah and said, Va'at Nami, and you too. Well, the Gemara says, Pshita, I know Kiddushin Atzman. Of course, once he says Va'at Nami, that itself constitutes Kiddushin. So forget about it. Yeah, that's full-fledged Kiddushin. What's the question? Ela note, going to Omolo the Isha Hareat Mekudeshesli. Rather, the case is, he says to Rachel, you are Mekudesh to me, but still after having given two prutas, but Omolo the Chavata Va'at. And he only says to the other one, to Leah, he says, and you. So now, what does the and you mean? Mia minan Va'at Nami Omolo. Do we fill in the word Nami and say it means you too? And therefore, now it means both of them are Mekudesh, like in the first case. So mi aminin va'at nami omel v'chavata. Do we assume that he meant you too, that he's saying to Leah, but tafsi v'kedushin v'chavata, and therefore kedushin are toifus with Leah as well? Oy doma va'at chazoi omel. Maybe not. Maybe he's just telling her, I want you to watch while I'm being makadish your friend Rachel. The low tax of kedushin, not as an aid, of course. A woman can't be an aid, but he's just saying that I want you to see what I'm doing.
You wouldn't use the Russian, but
He could, va'at, and you, it could mean va'at chazoi, it could mean, and I want you to watch what I want you to watch what I'm doing. So therefore, maybe he's not meaning to be Mekadesh at all. Maybe he's meaning to be Mekadesh, Rachel, with two purposes, and Leia, not at all. So he's just saying, va'at chazoi, omelo v'chavata, he's just telling the friend, I want you to watch, v'loi tafsi v'kiddushin v'chavata, and kiddushin don't apply, kiddushin on at chal, on the friend, on Leia. So Tosfos discusses over here that here we get into the question that we discussed before. When we talk about Yodos, we do have to talk about the question of how we said before, fine, according to Rava, you need Yodayim Mechichas. How Mechichas do they need to be? In other words, how reasonable is the possibility of understanding that Ba'at could conceivably mean Ba'at Chazoi, that we would say there's the possibility that maybe it wouldn't count as Kiddushin. But again, really what we have to do, really what Papa is asking in the first place, leaving aside Yadayim Mechichas or not, the question is a Yad even effective by Kiddushin, or is it maybe only Xeris HaKosuv, that by Nidorim, that Yadayim is enough, but maybe by other areas of Halacha, such as Kiddushin, maybe you need an absolute full declaration. You can't get away with saying only half.
Same way you need by a get, you need to have
same way by a get, well, pointed of Yehuda, you need by a get, right. So the Gemara asked him, "Mimi boyle le papa? Is it so that a papa even has a question about such a thing?" Bahamid omale le papa la abaya. But we have in a different Gemara that a papa says to abaya, "You have a case at the beginning of kiddushin. Suppose that the man gives the woman kesef or shava kesef, and instead of saying hareat mekudeshes li, he only says hareat mekudeshes. He doesn't use the word li. So now the question becomes again." Does that mean that he's meaning to be Mekadesher for himself? Or does it mean maybe that he can be Mekadesher as a shliach on behalf of somebody else? A person can the same way as we said before, that gittin can be accomplished through a shliach. You can send the get through a shliach. Kiddushin can also be accomplished through a shliach. So in that discussion, in that subya there, when Shmuel says that din, so Shmuel says that in fact it was so it would work. And with the omelet of papa Abaya, and given that a papa says to Abaya, "Me sover Shmuel Yodayim she'en mechichas having Yodayim," is it true that Shmuel holds that Yodayim she'en mechichas having Yodayim? Because after all, here it's Yodayim she'en mechichas. Because we don't know. Does Hareat Mekudeshes mean to be you Mekudesh to me, or does it mean you Mekudesh to somebody else? Those are two reasonable ways of filling in the word after Mekudeshes.
Especially she has to agree to it.
That's also true. Right. But let's say, for example, that she's saying, "I'm willing to be Mekodesh to whoever comes first." So fine, you know, so whoever is Mekodesh first, but the question is, was it he who's being Mekodesh, or is it somebody else? So the fact that a papa is asking the question and saying, does it mean that Shmuel holds that even Yadayim She'en Mechichas is good enough? The implication seems to be that a papa agrees that your papa knows that Yadayim work by Kiddushin. And the only question is, why is Shmuel telling us a case about Yadayim She'en Mechichas, does such a thing Bechlal work? So how is your papa asking over here in our Gemara if there is a Yad for Kiddushin at all, when we see from that Gemara in Kiddushin that clearly he holds there is a Yad, and the only question is, does it need to be Yadayim Mechichas, or is Yadayim She'en Mechichas good enough as well? The answer is, so that's the question. Since your papa asks Abaya, is it true that Shmuel holds that Yadayim She'en Mechichas are considered Yadayim? Miklal the Svirlein of Papa the Yeshiyad the Kiddushin. That the implication is that Rapapa is that Rapapa knows that there is a Yad for Kiddushin and holds that way. And he's just asking, how could it be that Shmuel holds that even Yad She'en Mechichas would work? The answer is Chodam Igoy Mai the Svirlein of Shmuel. The answer is Omalei Labayim. The answer is that what Rapapa is telling Abaya is one thing within what Shmuel is saying. In other words, he's asking, Shmuel holds that a Yad works. And he seems to be holding that even a Yad She'en Mechiyah works. My question is then, first of all, is that Bechlal, does a Yad work for Kiddushin? But he's saying, even if you say that there could be a Yad for Kiddushin, where do you see that there should be a Yad Mechiyach? In fact, the Ran points out that Rapapa is pointing out a contradiction with in Shmuel's opinion itself. because when it comes to a nazir, we learned earlier that that Shmuel will say that you need your dayim mechichas. For example, in the case of a nazir, we have at the beginning of Masechet Nazir, for example, it talks about if a person says ehei nove, I will be beautiful, then that makes him a nazir. So the question is, how is that? How is that a yad for nazirus? And the answer is Shmuel says because he's holding on to his hair at the time. So we understand that to mean that he means I'm going to be beautiful regarding my hair, namely I'm going to grow out my hair as a nazir. So we see that Shmuel requires your dayim mechichas. All of a sudden, you seem to be telling me over here not only that he holds of your dayim when it comes to kedushin, but that he holds of your dayim she'en mechichas. So he seems to be contradicting himself. So chodem migoy mai the svidel of Shmuel. So the Ran understands the word migoy means from the very fact of what Shmuel holds is omalei la'abaya is what he's pointing out to Abaya that you seem to have a contradiction within what Shmuel said. But Rav Papa himself doesn't have to hold bechlal that your dayim would work. He could be asking, maybe your dayim work by kedushin, maybe not. Shmuel is telling us that they do. Then the problem is, how is Shmuel saying your dayim chen mechichas work over here when by nazir he says you need your dayim mechichas? The Mefarish understands a little bit differently. He's just saying that the question is really an imtim tzaloimah. Does Shmuel Bechlal hold that there is a yad for kedushin? And if he does he require your dayim mechichas? So he's asking one of the two possible questions that you could ask on Shmuel. Okay, so anyway, the point is that Rav Papa himself does not necessarily have to hold that there is a yad regarding kedushin, which is why he asked the question whether there is or not.
What does he himself hold?
So he himself holds. We don't know. He's asking the question. He's asking the question, does a yad work for kedushin or not? It's clear that Shmuel holds that there is a yad for kedushin, and the question is, does Shmuel even allow the yad to work even when it's a yad she'ena mechiyah, where he says hareyat mekudeshes, which could just as well mean mekudesh to me and mekudesh to somebody else, but he obviously holds of yadus by kedushin. Rav Papa is asking the question, b'chlal, is that so? Does yad even work by kedushin? Here's another one. Boyer Papa. Yesh yad lepeya or a yad lepeya. What about when it comes to declaring peya? So a person has a mitzvah, a farmer has a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael to make one part of his field, one corner or one side of his field to be peya. Midaraisa, we say every day in davening, Eilu Dvarim Shein Lam Shira Peya. You can set aside one stalk and you'd be motzi the whole thing with that. Midarabanan has to be at least 1/60. So now, is there a yad regarding declaring peya? Rav Papa is asking, or not? So the Gemara asks again, hey, Chidon, what is the scenario that we had that we've asked about? Is it that he started by saying this particular ugya, and ugya means the Ran translates it as a ruga, a bed of a planting bed in a field. Usually, when you have a field, you don't always just have, so you may have, for example, if it's a field of grain, let's say, you have it's all one big field, and that's that. But if it's a field of vegetables or other such things, you usually plant those in smaller quantities. You have individual sections, individual beds that are called arugas in Hebrew and ugya in Aramaic. In each one you would grow, you might grow different vegetables in each one. Okay, in that case, in each one needs some pay anyway, but you might have, you're growing the same vegetables in all of them, but for convenience, you're putting them in separate beds. This way you can water them, more easily, this way you can take care of them more easily. In fact, the Ran and all the other Mephoshim over here point out that the word ugya, strictly speaking, means the ditch that you dig around it. Where you dig a ditch around that bed and fill it up with water, and that way the plants have where to get their water from. And if you need to irrigate them, you draw water from that and irrigate them. So because of that, the bed itself comes to be called an ugya as well. Anyway, so now suppose the person said this particular plot should be paya, and this one also. Well, what's the question? I pay a malyasi. There's no question. If he says this one also, then that's for sure. That's considered a full-fledged payah. That's not considered a yad. And by the way, even though it is true that payah only has to be 1/60th, the fact is you could declare more. You could declare more as payah. So the Ran asks, we have to be talking about, he says that the first one by itself was large enough to constitute payah on its own. So he has 60 such beds in his garden, and he declared one of them payah, and now that all by itself was enough to be payah, and now he says this one also. because the Ran points out, if the first one was did not constitute 1/60th, you don't need to get into the question of Yad. There's no question he's declaring as many as necessary in order to be payer, in order to be Yotze the mitzvah. So we have to be talking about that the first one itself was already enough for payer, and now voluntarily he wants to give more. So now, but if he says this one is payer and this one also, for sure that's valid payer. So key coming by him, after the answer is key coming by him, the answer is Rapapa's question is again, like we had before with Kedushin, if he says and this without specifying the word nam. So now, similar to Kedushin, you can have the question. My, what does he mean to declare the second one? Now you could say that it means he wants to say the second one is payah, but he could also mean that he's saying this. Tosfos explains that he could be saying the second one. The Rosh also explains that it means that he's saying the second one is reserved for my family that we're going to eat that we'll eat these vegetables. To take care of my family. In other words, he doesn't have
same sentence, the same.
So he's saying this one is payah, and this one implying, and we fill in a sentence that he's saying that the Rosh in fact points out the mashmalay, and it seems that the implication seems to be the mayri shalom mishalay oy basada. He doesn't have anything else left in the field. The minim sapalay, since we have the suffix. The Dilma Hadem Lanaf Kusa Kama, so maybe you mean this one for my expenses. He means that I'm gonna reserve this one for his expense, for my expenses, or to feed my family or whatever. So not necessarily is he declaring the second one payer. So that's the question. When he says Vahadain, do we fill in a yad saying that it means and this one is payer, or do we say maybe not? Maybe he means this one is for myself and my family. So the Gemara asks, so Veloy Omanami, he didn't say the word nam. So that's the question, is that considered a yad or not? And now again, why would we think that should work by payah? So the Ran says, even now you could argue again. The Papa started asking the question whether a yad works by kedushin. We could say maybe we learn by mamotzinu once it applies to nedarim and applies all over the place in halacha, or maybe we could say that not because maybe nedarim are special because you can declare them only verbally. Now payah, the Ran points out, when we talked before, and when we're going to talk at the top of the next Amud, about the din of Balta Acher, the din that once you made a neder, you have to fulfill it as soon as possible. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah goes through, you have the Pasuk over there, Kisidu Neder L'Hashem Elokecha, and Darshins it phrase by phrase, and one of the phrases in that Pasuk refers to payah. So therefore, now we have a stronger reason to say, just like when it comes to Balta Acher, the Torah is telling you that Nedarim and Peah are the same, maybe the same thing we should say as far as Yah. So Kedushin, maybe not, because Kedushin are not referred to anywhere in that passage. If we're going to learn them, it's going to be only with a Mamotzinu, or like Tosfos says, because you're changing the woman's status, you're making her also. But Peah, you have a stronger reason, maybe, to say that even if it doesn't apply to Kedushin, maybe it should apply to Peah. So the Gemara says, Miklal, if you almost saw the kula to have it Peah, have you Peah? Well, does that mean, since your papa is asking the question, and again, we're talking about the first one by itself was enough to be payah all by itself, and possibly then when he says v'hadein on the second one also makes it payah, does that mean that we would say that a person could even make his entire field payah if he wanted? Well, that's the question. On the face of it, payah means the side. So maybe it means the same way. Now, there are some of the things that a person has to give away where we say you can't declare the whole thing. For example, a person has a batch of dough. They can't validly declare the entire thing. They can't declare the entire thing challah. It has to be shireh nikarin. There has to be a recognizable piece left over that is not challah, because the Torah calls it reishis. And the same thing with a number of the other matnas kohona and matnas aniyim and whatever. You can't give the whole thing away. You have to, the Torah is telling you can only up to a certain point. Well, since he's saying over here that you could conceivably declare one plot after another, one bed after another to be payah, so does that imply that a person could maybe even go so far as to make his whole field payah? And the answer is ain. As a matter of fact, yes. V'ha tanya, and indeed we learn in a b'raisa, minayin sheim roitza lasis kosa deo peya oisa. How do we know that if a person wants to make his entire field peya, he could do that? Tamalama pa'as tzadcha. The Torah says, the peya of your field. So the point is, in other words, the Ran says it could have said Peya Shebis Sabcha, the Peya of that is in your field, and that would make it clear that not the entire field is Peya, only part of the area within it is Peya. Tosfa says it could have said Pas Mi Sabcha. So whatever the case, the point is that yes, a person could be clear of the entire thing Peya. With that said, Tosfa says now that would only work. Only if he, Tosfos and the Rosh both point out, that would only work if he started harvesting the field. If before he ever started harvesting, he said this whole field was Peah, that wouldn't work. But once he started harvesting, and even any amount of it, then the Torah is telling us, Loisachala, pass Sancha, don't clear away the Peah of your field. So then he can declare the rest of it Peah, and he's not clearing any of the rest of it away, and he's leaving it for the Ani. So in fact, they talk about that. That is why when we say in Eilu Dvarim, when we say Eilu Dvarim she'en lahem shir, apeya v'abitorim, etc., and ein lahem shir, the Gemara discusses. I think the Yerushalmi discusses it over there. I think the Bavli discusses it someplace. That it means that ein lahem shir l'mata. There's no minimum shir for them. There's no minimum shir for them in Atorah, because again, in Atorah, all you need is one stalk of grain to be yotzei truma or peya, but. But there is a shear, the milo, there is a maximum shear. So in that sense, then Peah also has a maximum shear in that it can't really be the whole field. You have to have harvested at least one stalk of grain or one vegetable or whatever first.
So it can be 99%?
So it can be 99%, but it can be 99.9%, but not 100 yet. Actually, I should mention as far as vegetables, actually, by the way, many vegetables are actually not chayav in Peah. Anyhow, there are certain specific rules that it discusses in the Mishnayos and Peah, what kinds of produce are chayav in Peah. One of them has to be machnisi v'kiyum, that's something that can be kept long term. So, for example, onions, let's say, would be chayiv and peya, because you can store potatoes or whatever, because you can store those long term, but not necessarily, let's say, for example, string beans or something. Anyway, or tomatoes or whatever. Anyway, so now that we established that yes, a person can make almost his entire field peya. So now, well, again, if he said on one plot within the field, he said this is peya and this, then he looks at another plot and says at this. And again, the question is, does this mean this one is peya, or does it mean this one I'm reserving for my family? So miyam minan kibin de itkash l'korbanos. So that's the question. Do we say, since there's a hekesh between peya and korbanos in the matter of bal ta'achar, as we're going to discuss in a second, ma korbanos yesh lahem yad ach peya yesh layad, and when it comes to korbanos, we said a yad works, as we talked about before, that you have harei or harei ze olai is enough to constitute a declaration of a korban. Oiduma ki itkash lebal ta'achar hu de itkash, or maybe the hekesh is only as far as bal ta'achar, and maybe not as far as other dinim. Now, the Ran points out, further on, we're going to learn this tomorrow, Bess Hashem, the Gemara mentions a concept which comes up here and there in Shas called Ein Hekesh Lemechta. There's no such thing as having a Hekesh that tells us only half the dinim. Once you have a Hekesh between one din and another, then we just bring over everything. So why wouldn't you say that over here? And the Ran answer is because the fact is it doesn't actually say the word Peah in the Pasuk. We have a phrase in the Pasuk which we douse in as referring to Peah. So we can't call that really such a strong hekesh that we should be able to say ain hekesh l'mechta. Therefore, maybe the Torah is only comparing them as far as bal ta'achar, but maybe not as far as other things. So oydoma ki itkash l'bal ta'achar hu de'itkash. Maybe the hekesh is strictly only as far as bal ta'achar. Well, the hecha itkash. So where exactly is that hekesh that you're talking about? So Tanya, we learn in a braisa. The whole braisa is in the Sechta Rosh Hashanah. You have a long sugya over there about the dinim of bal ta'achar, and it says the daushin's phrase by phrase. You have a pasuk over there. Kisidur neder v'Hashem alakecha moisa acha l'shalma kidorish yidushenu v'Hashem alakecha meimach v'hoya b'chachet. So the Gemara daushin's phrase by phrase. Kisidur neder means in dorim and adavos. V'Hashem alakecha means various kinds of hektish, etc. And it goes through over there. And eventually it says meimach when it says Hashem will demand it from you, zel leket shikhopeya, that refers to leket shikhopeya, that if you declared peya, or if you dropped grain, which becomes leket, or you forgot it, it becomes shikha, then you have a responsibility to give it to the aniyim within a certain amount of time, and you're not, if not, then you're over on bal ta'achar. So we see, therefore, that bal ta'achar, it includes both korbanos, because at the beginning of the pasuk, you see the neder of Hashem alakecha, it's talking about korbanos, and dorish yirushenu. Also, we learned a couple of blocks ago, refers to chatois and hashamos, And now, Me'imach refers to Leket Shikopeya, so you have a Hekish between Kobonus and Peya, so maybe therefore the concept of Yad would apply to both of them, or maybe not. How do we learn Leket Shikha and Peya from Me'imach? So the Rosh explains, and it actually mentions it in the Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah, because since the Pasuk says, Es ha'oni imach, elsewhere you have the expression in the Pasuk, the poor person who is with you, that you have to give him if you lend him money, kesef talves ami is on imach. Therefore, the word imach we can douch in as referring to things that go to the poor people, namely like a chitcha and peah. So that's it. So we have the question open whether yad works for peah or not. In the end, with all of these things, the halacha ends up being that yes, yad does work with them. So yad can be used for kedushin, it can be used for peah, and so on and so forth.
That means if someone says that, he can be included to himself.
So, for example, if he looks at one plot in his field and says, this is Peah, and then another one, and he says, and this, then at the very least, you have a suffix whether that's Peah, and therefore the result is that he has to give it away.
Right? What? It doesn't look that way.
Maybe you could ask him what he had in mind, but, the question would be, is what he's saying later that he had in mind, is that the same as what he had in mind originally? It may not work in that sense. But here.
And the Kedushin said that.
Kedushin also requires Das, of course. So he says, if he says by Kedushin, if he uses the expression, Hareat Mekudeshes Ba'at, then at the very least you have a suffix Kedushin. Let's actually take a quick look and see. So, for example, in the case of Kedushin, Va'at, so he says Mekudesh is misuffic. Because, for that matter, the Va'at if he says Va'at Nami or something like that, then Shtein Mekudeshes. Actually, he says another case that Amma mentions based on a case in Kedushin, you could even have where he says to the first, if he says to the second woman, Va'at, discusses the case. Suppose that instead he gives the money of Kedushin to Leah. He didn't give it to Rachel at all. And he gives it to Leah and says, Va'at. Then it's only a Kedushin misafik, because then he might be saying, what do you say about this? And we said before in the Gemara, Va'at Chazi, that's what it is. He's saying, Va'at Chazi, it's not so much he's saying, I want you to watch this. He's saying, what do you think of what I just did? So it's only Kedushin misafik.
But so you might the second one?
So here the expression is the phrasing in the Rambam is so the pashtus it means that he gave the first one. Okay. So he gave the first one, like we were saying before, and then he says the second one, Va'at. He doesn't necessarily mean I want to be Makadish as well. Okay. He may mean what do you think about this? Similarly when it comes to Peah. So here.
What we asked, what do you think about it? If he gave her a shavu prota and he said that you...
He said the first one he gave a shavu prota. So now he's asking for the second one, what do you think? What do you think? Do you want to be in the Scottish as well? Do you approve of what I just did? Et cetera, yeah. So therefore, not necessarily would the second one be Mekodesh. It would only be Kedushin Misafik, and therefore she'd either need a proper Kedushin or she'd need a get Misafik. Similarly, when it comes to Peah, So if he says Harezu Peya and also this, or he says Harezu Peya Vizu, then both of them are Peya. Again, the pashtus on the grounds that it might be a suffix, and suffix matnas aniyim, you have to give to the aniyim, so therefore that would work. And we'll continue tomorrow in the Gemara, Bez Hashem, we'll continue discussing also the matter of Yad as far as Tzedakah, and as far as a Beis HaKiseh. As far as if you declare one place to be a Beis HaKiseh and then you declare another one, does that second one have the din of a Beis HaKiseh that you can't daven or learn in it? So we'll continue with that discussion tomorrow. We'll discuss that point tomorrow. That's the shame. Yeah.
So there's two questions so far we have over here, right? One for Kedushin and one
for... So far we have one for Kedushin and one for Peah, right? And tomorrow we're going to deal with two other ones, Zaka and Beis HaKiseh.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
After that, then we'll be getting back to topics of Nedarim, of Nedarim proper. Yeah.
How come they have the run over here instead of the Tosfos?
So what it is actually, we talked about this at the beginning of the Masechta, the Pirush that we have printed as Rashi, it's very ironic because it actually says Rashi at the top of it, which it doesn't in most of Shas, but that Pirush, it seems, is not actually from Rashi. A number of achronim point that out explicitly. You have, for example, the Beis Yosef at one point refers to something that Rashi says, and he says on a very sharp expression, loy chosh lekimche, that he wasn't careful to make sure that what he's writing is correct off the halacha. He would never say that about Rashi. So it's mashma, it was somebody else who wrote it. Even though it's printed under the name Rashi, it's not Rashi itself. It's because some people say maybe bits and pieces of it are from Rashi, but in any case, the majority of it is not.
It's
not the original Rashi. They often call it the Mefarish, and therefore the Ran ends up being the most important Mefarish, that when people learn Masechta Nedarim, that is what they use as the primary Mefarish.
Okay, and I saw you use...
So we use also the Rosh, and we use also Tosfos, right.
So you pretty much... use the Rosh over Tosfos primarily.
So it's not really primarily, but I mean there is Tosfos over here, but the Ran and the Rosh are like more the running commentaries that are used more instead of Rashi, and then Tosfos is Tosfos. They do more deeper analysis as usual with Tosfos.
Okay, and is there any other Gemaras that are like that with the Ran?
We're gonna have actually the next Masecht after this one. Nazir is similar in that regard. In Nazir, again, what's printed as Rashi is not really from Rashi, there the primary Pirush is the Rosh's Pirush.
Okay. So the
Rosh will be on the side over there, yeah.
So here Tosfos is also
on the side, right. Because there was no room once you have the Ran. In fact, in the older prints of the Gemara, in the first prints of Masechta Nedarim in the 1500s, they actually had both the Ran and the Rosh, one below the other. They didn't have the Rosh in the margin like we have it over here. They actually had the Ran on the top, and then the Rosh printed underneath it, which is why so many of the Blach and the Darim are so short. Because once you need room for the Mefarish and for Ran and for the Rosh, there wasn't enough room to put in a lot of text of Gemara on the page. So even though in later editions they moved the Rosh to the margin over here, they still kept the same page numbering as usual.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.